Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Make sure to throw me a follow on Twitter, at @Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton. You can find him at Misto Christopho. Chris, as always, say what's up to the people.
Howdy ho, folk-a-roonies. We are almost into the free agency period of the 2019 NFL season.
And quite honestly, it's going to start tomorrow for the Jaguars with the news of whether or not they will be picking up tight end Austin Seferian-Jenkins' contract option. Tomorrow is the deadline. So, you know, we got the good news out of the way in the Jags re-signing Josh Lambeau last week. We talked about that in the special teams roster breakdown pod. Before, as I was saying on there, they will start the purge. And that is cutting all of their fat, trimming all of the fat, cutting the expensive contracts, the ones that they can get out of pretty easily, and, you know, get back into the green for cap space. And that starts with what they do with Seferian-Jenkins' $4 million option, which the deadline being Tuesday, February 19th. So with that, we're going to talk about whether or not they'll do that with Seferian-Jenkins, as well as the rest of the roster and the cap casualties there. What they might do, what they might not do, who's obviously a candidate to get cut, whether it's smart to or not to, and what we think will ultimately happen. And while we do that, we're going to be tracking the cap space. So this is something you guys are going to want to pay attention to. We're going to list what the savings will be for cutting or restructuring a contract based on how we figure restructures will work. I've got a cap space guy who I trust very much with numbers and how they work restructurings and converting salaries into bonuses. He's given me a lot of different numbers that, you know, we can work with here to give you an idea as to what these type of restructures would look like for some guys that we think will end up getting a contract restructure within the next couple of weeks. And we've broken that down into tiers of certain players that we, you know, the expensive ones, the lesser expensive ones, and then the really unimportant guys. And while we, you know, make our decisions with them, we're going to track the Jaguars cap space and see where they ultimately end up with if they follow what we predict will happen. So, Chris, before we get started, what is the Jaguars cap space for 2019 as things stand? The Lambeau contract is now on the books. So where are we at?
All right. So per over the cap, which is a very trustworthy NFL cap related website, we are projected for 2019 at this, or not projected, by what they have on their books, we are at negative $5.897 million on the books right now. So not great.
Right now, we are not in a great position. But that is where the Jaguars have, you know, been really smart when you look back in hindsight. People questioned, oh, why did they take Taven Bryan over Lamar Jackson or Will Hernandez? And while obviously the talent factor is something you want to think about, I am a believer that Taven Bryan will do well at three tech. That's his natural position. In which case, that totally justifies the idea of cutting Malik Jackson, who is due $15 million next year. If you cut him, save $1 million. $11 million. Sorry. We're going to talk a lot of numbers. I'm going to get confused, but I will correct them and make sure everything's accurate as we go. So keep that in mind. You know, some of the previous moves they've made in the past, now in hindsight, when it comes to a crucial time where they need to get back into the green with cap space, those moves look a lot smarter. And we'll start right there with Malik Jackson. Chris, cut or keep Malik Jackson?
Unfortunately, we're going to be cutting Malik Jackson is what my gut's telling me, which is kind of sad because just an offseason ago, we were all hyping Malik Jackson as a top three tech in the NFL. And although he didn't have the sack numbers this past year, obviously there's something wrong there because he ends up getting benched about three quarters into the season. His pressure count numbers were probably one of the lower in his career, but he was still one of the best on the team if you're looking at that. So I can see them justifying keeping Jackson if they were to if he were to maybe take a restructure. But my gut's telling me that he's going to be a cut.
I think so, too. I actually looked at PFF, and for this year, among interior defensive linemen, he's still ranked top 10 in pressures. So he's going to definitely have a market when he's cut. I wonder if teams are calling about trading for him, but we're not going to project trades because that just gets crazy. So because we're not going to do that, although I do think teams will call, we're going to say he'll get cut. That saves $11 million right there. That lets Taven Bryan come in. And for the next 3 years on an inexpensive rookie deal, he is your three tech. You develop him and you turn him into one of the better and certainly one of the most explosive three techs in the league. Because if you've seen that first step, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so Chris is tracking the salary cap now. We won't go, you know, cut by cut with what we think they're going to be at because that's a lot of math. But we do have the final tally. At the end of the show, we will say where their cap space would be at after these moves.
To keep people on track, I can give you guys what we're standing at the end of each tier. It's pretty easy. So
yeah, we'll do that at the end of each tier, which is the end of every segment. So right now, $11 million off the books. We move on to two guys that we believe will get restructured, and then we'll do one more cut before the segment ends. And we believe that both Calais Campbell and Marcell Dareus, two defensive linemen, will get restructured. Chris, hit me with the numbers. Obviously, we've got, you know, my cap guy has hit me with some specific numbers and plugging them into the cap calculator that Chris is using, he comes back with the same results. So, Chris, what are we looking at if we convert Calais Campbell and Marcell Dareus' contracts, their 2019 base salary, into signing bonuses, which is what they did last year with Telvin Smith right after he signed his extension in order to create more space.
So Calais right now is projected to have a $12 million base salary with 2.5 prorated bonus for a cap hit of 14.5. And going off the over the cap restructure numbers and our cap guy's number, it came to an almost the exact same value. So restructuring Calais Campbell will save the team this season $5.485 million on the books.
And I think that that's ultimately what they do. Calais Campbell has said he wants a year added on to, or more time added on to his deal. If he is to restructure, that's the type of guarantee he wants. You can assume he wants to retire a Jaguar based off of that statement. He is, what, 32? So it's not like he's getting any younger. He wants to spend more time here. I'm sure that's what he wants to do at this point. And we're not going to factor any more years in. We're just going to go off based off of what the immediate, you know, result would be of that restructure. Safe to assume they would add that year on. But so Chris has got that marked down. Now let's take a look at Marcell Dareus. Where would we be at with a restructure for him, who's become, you know, just a fantastic nose tackle here? I see no way that they move on from his deal, despite how big of a cap hit he is. I think it's much, much more realistic to restructure him or keep him at his pay rate rather than cut him.
And I think the thing about Dareus when he was coming in is I think a lot of us wasn't really sure how we would like him because, you know, he kind of had that bad stigma coming out of Buffalo. All the Buffalo fans were saying he's a cancer in the locker room and whatnot. But Dareus, I think, is becoming a fan favorite, really. There's the video of him when he rented out the entire movie theater and he dressed up as SpongeBob and stuff like that. So I think he's kind of growing on a lot of people, and I think he's really liked in the locker room. So I'm glad to see that he's kind of growing here in Jacksonville. But on the books, he has a projected 8.335 base salary with $2 million roster bonus and $250,000 in workout bonus for a grand total cap hit for this final year of $10,585,000. Now inserting all of this into our fancy restructure machine, restructuring Marcell Dareus, converting that base salary into signing bonus, will then save the team $6.436 million on the books this season.
So if you can't tell, the defensive line really, really impacts the Jaguars' cap space. They've put a ton of money into the trenches, offensive line and defensive line. We're going to talk a bit about the offensive line later, but three moves right there, in which case you keep two really important players and you let one go because at this point he really is a bit of fat that you're trimming. And suddenly the Jaguars are definitely in the green at this point, saving a ton of money on one cut, two restructures. We have one final cut to discuss, and then we'll give you guys the first projected bonus after the tier one moves are made. The final move here is moving on from Blake Bortles. Now, to anyone that would be confused as to how this could work, because there's obviously a difference in what his cap number could be for next year, because regardless, he is owed at least $16.5 million next year. If he's cut, if they keep him, he's owed $21 million when the year is all said and done. But they can split it up. They could cut him with a post June 1st designation, in which case they split up his guaranteed money throughout 2019 and 2020 to finish out his contract rather than it hitting all at once. They can do that before June 1st. They can do that right now if they so please. They're probably just seeing if anyone wants to make calls to take a wing, send a late pick for him, and go from there. I don't think they're going to end up getting that, in which case they'll cut him, but they can do it before free agency and call it a post June 1st designated cut to allow him to test the market in fairness to the player, as well as eventually give the Jaguars those savings. So Chris, with a post June 1st designated cut, what does it look like in terms of savings and dead money?
So I'll give you the before and the after. So if you were to cut Blake Bortles straight up, you would be saving $4.3 million on the year. But if you do a post June 1st cut, you end up saving $9.3 million this year. Now, I believe the thing with June 1st is you can designate him as a June 1st, but I don't think that money hits, that savings hits your books until June 1st. So,
yeah, exactly.
We'll know that'll be kind of late tier spending money, whatnot, but I don't believe it all the savings hits. I think you'll only get the four to start with, and then you'll get the extra five once June 1st actually rolls around.
Unless the Jaguars spend a ton of money in free agency, that's when I'm predicting that they'll start making – if they're going to extend a guy like Jalen Ramsey or Yannick, and I'm not talking like bringing back the cheap guys because they'll obviously have to knock that out pretty early on. But if you're setting the expectation that they're going to extend a cornerstone like Ramsey or Yannick, expect that to come after the June 1st money rolls back in and they've got – you know, it's the downtime of the offseason. They're getting people excited. When that money hits, you know, for the Jaguars to be able to spend, then that's when I'd expect those signings to extensions to come rather than early on. So factoring all of these in, the post June 1st cut for Blake Bortles, as well as these three other moves, before we go to break, Chris, where are we sitting at in 2019 cap space?
So the Jaguars start before making any moves with negative 5.8 mil. And after the tier one moves, the Jaguars are sitting at 25.178 million in cap room.
That's good. That's a great start right there in tier one. There's plenty of other moves that they can make that we're going to talk about after this break. Today's episode of Locked On Jaguars is brought to you by A1 Sliders. Are you one of hundreds of coastal Northeast Florida homeowners who struggle every day to open and close your sliding glass door? Why spend all the money it takes to replace your sliding glass door when Tony and the gang at A1 Sliders could save you money and repair your door for you? A1 Sliders is licensed and insured. They offer free estimates, upfront pricing, and will help you save on heating and cooling costs in your home from leaky sliding glass doors. And at A1, your schedule comes first. A1 Sliders is a fan of the Locked On Jaguars podcast, and in partnering with us, they will give you $25 off of any repair you order, no limit. Just mention Locked On Jaguars before getting your repairs done. Call A1 Sliders now for your free sliding glass door repair estimate at 386-538-6835, or check out their website at www.a1sliders.com. That's 386-538-6835. And www.a1sliders.com. And don't forget to mention Locked On Jaguars for $25 off of any repair you order. A1 Sliders, licensed and insured, LLC, covers the Jacksonville area from Fernandina Beach through New Smyrna Beach, based out of Palm Coast, Florida. Contact for more details on location and any questions you may have. So we're on to tier two. Just a couple of moves in tier two of, you know, mid-range salary guys. One of them that might be a bit more of a surprise than the other, but both of them definitely make sense and would move a lot more money off the books. So, Chris, we'll start with Jeremy Parnell, the right tackle, getting a little up there in age, has dealt with some injuries. You know, when he has been able to play, he's played pretty well for the Jaguars, I'd say, during his tenure, considering, you know, his background. He came from always being a backup and spot starter in Dallas. Full-time starter here, making a lot of money. I think they drafted his replacement last year. I know people aren't as sold on Richardson as I am, but I think that they truly wanted to redshirt him last year. They took advantage of his injury to put him on IR, which he's still allowed to practice through, and just gave him a year to truly develop behind Parnell. And now I'm sure they're going to try and put him in, kind of like what they're going to do with Taven coming in to replace Jackson and just save a ton of money. So cutting Parnell, what are the savings there?
So for Jeremy Parnell, it's pretty easy. You cut Parnell, there's no dead cap, you're saving $6 million on the books.
And then let's move on to our second one. That one, obviously, you know, that one's kind of obvious. This one, not as much, but I think that there's definitely an explanation here that would make sense. Tashawn Gibson has been in Jacksonville for 3 years. He's been a little inconsistent. His first year wasn't too great. His second year was really, really good. He was part of a lockdown secondary. And then this past year didn't live up to the hype. Don't believe there's much dead money there. They could cut him and save a decent amount this offseason too, right?
Yes and yes. So Tashawn Gibson, his base salary is 7.2. Prorated 800,000, roster bonus, whatever. So he is projected to get $9,050,000 this year. He does carry a $1.6 million projected dead money hit, but by cutting Tashawn Gibson, the team would be saving $7,450,000 on the year.
So tier two right there, you're talking 13.5-ish million dollars in savings, and both of these moves could make sense. They obviously have the guy lined up at right tackle. I'm sure they'd, you know, give someone a contract extension on the, like, incredibly inexpensive. Like, I'm talking maybe Josh Wells is the depth again, or I would prefer Eric Flowers, but one of those guys, because they're so inexpensive, they'd be the swing, they have experience at right tackle. Maybe draft another guy just to do it, but you have Richardson. Mm-hmm. Whereas at free safety, that one's a bit more questionable, because who do you have there to replace him? The guy I would believe would be Jared Wilson, who's been here for 3 years. They've kept him around.
Who they extended.
They've kept him here despite bringing in other special teams bodies at free safety. And obviously Gibson is the starter. They've kept him here for 3 years. He spot started at strong safety a couple of times and played really well. Not really well, like jumping out at you with these great plays. But I can't recall any time that he's gotten burnt. He's looked pretty solid in coverage. He's obviously a special teamer that's played really well on special teams. They like what he offers. He's big. He's rangy at 6'2", I believe. And they gave him a good deal for a former undrafted free agent turned special teams ace. Like, more than what those guys would typically get. He got a 3-year, $9 million deal. That's decent money for a guy of his story and status. So I think that they could have possibly spot start him at free safety for a year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, try and figure out the free safety position once they've got the offense a little bit more figured out. But I'm not guaranteeing Gibson being gone, but I think that Wilson would have them in better hands than a lot of fans might give them credit for, and could end up being worth it to save all that type of money on Gibson.
The more I think about the Jared Wilson contract, is the more I think that they offered him more money than a backup would ever make. For two reasons. I think now, the more I think about it, I think the team might draft a free safety this year. It's not top heavy free safety class, but there's some good talent in the middle rounds where they have some extra picks, especially if they were to trade somebody away and continue to accrue picks in the middle. So you have Jerod Wilson and a rookie essentially battling it out for the spot. And I think the way they structured Wilson's contract is, if Wilson wins the battle and he's the starter, then great. He's getting like kind of low-tier starter money. But if he doesn't win it, then they signed him with this in mind. That way, they don't lose in a free agency. So I think they gave him the extra money to where he was inclined to stay and not test the market. And they kind of have a win-win. Whether if he's on the bench, they're not paying him a whole lot, but they, you know, they lock down a really solid backup.
Or if he's a special teamer.
And special teamer. Or if he does win the job, then you have a starting free safety for at least the next season at a very manageable cap number.
I totally agree. I think that, I mean, there's cuts that would be a little bit more surprising than Gibson being mm-hmm. cut, but I definitely think it would be a bit of a surprise to Jags fans. But it's one that when you sit and think about it, it's definitely plausible. And Wilson's extension kind of solidified that thinking for me. Mm-hmm. So where, after these two moves, would the Jaguars be sitting in cap space?
All right, so after Jeremy Parnell is cut and after Tashawn Gibson is cut, the team is now resting at $37.6 million in cap space.
Isn't it funny that, you know, people get mad when we say cap space is fake? Everyone said, what money would the Jags have to pay Nick Foles or Le'Veon Bell? Anybody this offseason. But when we're here trimming the fat, making these projections with things that we think will happen, the Jags are putting themselves in a respectable position cap-wise. Now, who they're going to spend it on, we'll see. We'll talk about that more in future episodes. We still have another tier of guys that we're thinking could be cap casualties coming your way after this break. So on to our third tier, you know, the lesser guys, I guess, in a sense. More so because, you know, some backups, some guys that have had some injury issues. And the most important part is they're not as expensive as the guys we mentioned before. But the salaries still do add up. So we'll go ahead and start with the one we started with this show with, talking about Austin Seferian Jenkins, the tight end. You know, he missed a lot of time this season after playing through the first five games with a core injury. He tweeted last month that he was ready for the next chapter and thanked Jacksonville. The team then came out and said that they hadn't made a decision on whether or not to pick up his option, but sure sounds like they might have, or Austin Seferian Jenkins just doesn't want to be here anymore. But regardless, we're going to assume that they will not pick up his option by tomorrow's deadline, which means that he will be a free agent. And essentially, that would mean he's getting cut because there would be savings there by not picking up his option, because so long as we don't project that he'd be cut, his salary is suggested to hit the books for next year based on, you know, over the cap and spot track, as well as the NFLPA would assume that until it's not on their books anymore. So, Chris, they decline his option. What are the savings looking like?
So the website terms it as a cut, but it's essentially the same thing. So declining Austin Seferian Jenkins' option would save the team $4.325 million on the books. So, you know, a little more spending cash here and there.
And is this something that you think they'll do?
I do. Obviously, if the tweet didn't come out, I wouldn't be thinking that. But ASJ made it seem pretty strong that the team would not be picking up his option.
It does get a little bit confusing considering what their tight end room would look like if they don't. Considering Niles Paul has already been released, they did that during the season. Ben Koyak was signed midseason after they released him in August as an injury reserve cut. James O'Shaughnessy is an impending free agent that I do believe they will bring back, and he'll be really inexpensive. But essentially, I mean, it's O'Shaughnessy and Koyak, and I mean, Blake Bell isn't going to be a free agent as well. So you let ASJ go, and you've got two bodies there, and neither of them are really that great. But you're saving money. ASJ didn't play last year, and they got by without him. I mean, you didn't see that much of a difference in their tight end play with him without him on the field. It is probably a position that I think they draft a guy and sign an undrafted free agent, bring two fresh bodies in. We know that Dave Caldwell doesn't, you know, seem to really care about drafting tight ends much because he hasn't really done it. He signed and missed on Julius Thomas. But draft, I think the earliest time he's ever drafted a tight end with their tight end issues was the sixth round. Tom Coughlin doesn't have a history of drafting or wanting tight ends. I can't even think of like who the best tight end was he had in New York. Jeremy Shockey, who was like a fifth round pick. It's just not as important of a position to them, which I think it should be. And yeah, if they were to sign Nick Foles, like TJ Hawkinson at seven makes a ton of sense. But I think they'll view it as they weren't hurt that bad by ASJ not playing. Might as well keep the extra cash, draft two new guys, and go from there. Guys that don't have injury history.
And I think that's the biggest thing, because if they were to target a free agent tight end, it seems like all the kind of premier names have injury history attached to them. So,
Tyler Eifert for one.
Oh yeah. Tyler Eifert, Max yeah. Williams, if you're going kind of a younger route. Jesse James is kind of hit or miss with the injuries. I think he had was Jesse James the one with a concussion problem?
He's had some concussions in Pittsburgh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, so there's, kind of, it's not,
yeah,
it's not a healthy, healthy market. They've got Jared Cook.
I mean, they're just really old. There's some names like that, just kind of quick glancing at. Ricky Seals-Jones is kind of an interesting guy from the Cardinals. He's only 24. He's an ERFA, so I believe you'd have to send a pick or something if you were to get him. But CJ Uzuma was a guy that I would like. And now that the team suddenly has all this cap space in the scenario that we're doing, they might be able to pursue him. But those are some names just kind of early on that if you wanted to kind of make a splash at tight end and free agency again, those are probably some names that you'll definitely hear thrown around.
And now let's talk about the other guys in Tier 3. Carlos Hyde is one that it seems almost automatic. Like, dude was terrible here. Mm-hmm. He was a healthy scratch at one point late in the season. it's safe to assume that's who Doug Marrone was talking about a guy that just didn't seem to have the great attitude. He came out and said that he thinks he deserved more carries when he really didn't. That would save, you've got the number?
4.7 clean, no dead cap, so that's $4.7 million on the Jaguars' books.
And then who else do we have as potential Tier 3 cut guys?
Is it just
our surprise one that we were talking about, or were there any other
ones? I believe it's just the surprise one that we were talking about that seems to be left.
Okay, so this one, we're not going to project this into, for the purpose of this exercise, we are not going to project him as a cut. However, we're going to talk about the idea of maybe him being the surprise cut of all of them. While Gibson seems like that guy, Avery Jones could be a surprise cut here because they last, in 2017, traded for a guy to come in and take his starting job, not, what, 7-8 games after he was made the full-time starter. And, you know, he's seen his snaps decrease, his production's gone down, and I'm sure, as a dude who went from undrafted free agent to work in his way into a starting role and to lose it and not get it back all within like a 2-year period, he probably doesn't really want to stick around if he's not going to get more playing time. I don't know this. Like, this is just me guessing. Mm-hmm. And I would be too. I'm sure anyone would be like that in any career field. In which case, they could cut him and save the number.
Cutting Avery Jones saves you $4 million flat.
So while it's, like we said, Tier 3, it's not as expensive a guy, and you can definitely afford to keep him. And for the purpose of this exercise, we will, because if you cut him, you have no backup nose tackle. They'd have to draft a guy or sign someone else to a cheap deal. But luckily, nose tackles aren't that expensive. So they could essentially go and sign a guy to a 1-year deal for less than what Avery's at right now in order to, you know, out of a mutual respect, let him go and get his own market and go be a starter elsewhere. But it makes sense. They've got their guy. They restructure him and make him their guy for the long term and Darius ahead of him. Let him go test it otherwise and get some extra cash. I mean, cutting him would put them in total cap space in this exercise, where would it be?
So we're factoring in cutting Jones?
We're not going to project it, but just for the purpose.
So if they were to cut Avery Jones, the team would sit at $49,676,000.
Now we're not going to factor that into the final projection, because this is our official projections of what'll happen. But that's just an idea as to what could possibly happen with Avery. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. It could easily go either way. It'd probably be the most surprising one because of the bodies you'd have at nose tackle. But just something to think about. Just, you know, a potential, you know, thing that could happen. But so, without cutting Avery, what is the official Jaguars 2019 caps table looking like before any other re-signings?
So the team starts at -$5.8 million on the books. We then cut Malik Jackson, restructure Darius, restructure Campbell, post June 1st cut Bortles, cut Gibson, cut Parnell, cut Hyde, and decline ASJ's option, which brings us from -$5.8 million to $45.676 million on the books, or a cap savings of $51,476,189, roughly.
And let me ask you this for your opinion. Saving $51 million in all these cuts, do you think the team loses a ton of talent in this? Or do you think that they get marginally worse in saving that much money? Or do you think that that's like totally fine to lose that talent considering the price?
Well, losing Blake Bortles, you're not losing any talent. So that's one of your cuts that doesn't really matter. Parnell has been hit or miss, but I think they have their guys, and that just happens. Carlos Hyde, you're not losing any talent. ASJ, you never really saw him play last year, so you don't really know what you're losing because you never saw what you had. I would say probably the two biggest ones would be Gibson and Jackson. That's probably where you might see a bigger drop off. I feel like it's minimal because at the end of the season, Malik Jackson was not even a starter and was still getting pressures. But you have Taven Bryan, who would be the starter. You would like to say that he will grow this year. And then Gibson is kind of really the wild card. But we saw how Gerard played at the end of the season. filling in when Harrison got hurt and whatnot, and he was pretty decent. He, like you said, he didn't get burned or anything. So I don't think the talent drop-off is that significant, but the cap savings are very significant. And just going across the board real quick before any other teams make their cuts, which we know they can. So the Jags going from negative $5.8 million, which is the last in the NFL, by the way. They are currently the last team in the NFL in cap. Going to their new projected number would put them at...
Drum roll, please.
From last to 11th in the NFL in cap space.
Cap space is fake, and we have manipulated it here at Locked On Jaguars. So that's our projection for what the cap casualties will look like. Could end up looking like geniuses, could end up being totally wrong, but we think that this is totally manageable for the Jaguars. It's optimal for them to get back into the green and be able to spend in free agency and re-sign their own players without losing a ton of talent or getting being worse off than they were at the end of this past season. And rather, like Chris said, the cap savings there are substantial. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Locked On Jaguars. We'll be back later in the week as we start to project exactly what they would do with this cap space, assuming that they have this much. Make sure to leave those reviews, iTunes, and subscribe anywhere you can listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. Anywhere you can hear podcasts, you can hear Locked On Jaguars. Leave those reviews, keep the five stars coming, and we will catch up with you guys next time.